Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting, which is September 9th, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7th, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. This notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Asikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Grauman?
Here.
And Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay, well, we have a pretty full house tonight, first time in a long time. So rather than a report, I have just a few announcements for new business, which I'll save until the end, and we can go right into the meeting. So I'm going to open at 7:06 p.m., the public comment on agenda items only. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to speak about the agenda items? Are you coming up, Nancy? Or
oh, no.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, Mike?
Yeah, I just have a question.
Identify yourself.
Yes, Michael Sixton. A new business, it says the two ordinances listed. Does this mean that for discussion only?
Yes.
Okay, let me clarify that. Thank you. Okay. Didn't say first reading. So
right.
Assumed it was discussion only. We wanted to clarify that.
True. Right, we come to approval of minutes from August.
Hold on, close, we're going to close.
Close public.
Oh, sorry.
7:07.
Close the public meeting. Public comment. All right, come to approval of minutes from the August 12th, 2019 regular council meeting. Do I have a motion? Motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Asikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Grauman?
Yes.
Okay, meeting minutes are approved. Come to correspondence. The first piece of correspondence is a resignation from Rob Masterson from the Planning Board and as our Office of Emergency Management Coordinator. Rob did a wonderful job. Unfortunately, he moved to Millstone recently. So he is going to continue as our deputy OEM coordinator because he can live in Millstone and be the deputy. But he will no longer be the coordinator or on the planning board. And then we have a resignation from Ron Koster, Clean Community Coordinator, effective after the fall 2019 Clean Communities litter pickup. And Ron's done it for many, many, many years, and he's done an excellent job obtaining grants for us and coordinating the whole litter pickup. But he's involved in many other things now. And so if anyone actually knows someone or is interested in becoming our Clean Community Coordinator, just let us know, and we'd be thrilled.
Can I add that is also a paid position? There is a stipend for that.
Right, that's true. It is one of the few paid positions in town. Resolutions. We have Resolution 19-92, Payment of Bills, September 9th, 2019. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that we only had one meeting in August, which is, we have one meeting a month during the summer months. So it's kind of two payment periods. We usually have two meetings a month, so it may be a little larger than what you're used to seeing.
I just wanted to add, Anna's been having a drop of a hard time hearing, I think because when the air conditioner goes on or whatever that is. So I was just ask everyone to speak up a little bit. Any other discussion on the bill list? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Asikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Grauman?
Yes.
19-92 passes.
I'd like to offer resolution 1993, authorizing a shared services agreement with the Millstone Township Board of Education for electric, HVAC, and mechanical services.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, we have to do this, I think, every year.
Every year.
And we have quite a number of shared services agreements. It saves us money, and it gives us a good a bunch of experts who we can use for various projects and all. And I think it's a great thing. I'm glad we're doing that.
Yeah, this is just a continuation of the contract expired, and it's time to renew it.
And their response time is usually better than a commercial person.
Yeah, and the Millstone is very helpful to us
yes. In
this area. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipaw?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mayor, I'd like to offer resolution 1994, authorizing the award to purchase 4 hydrants to Waterworks Supply Company.
Second.
Discussion?
Is that Lou?
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipaw?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Grauman?
Yes.
I'd like to move 1995, authorized award for Mueller hydrants to B&W Construction.
Second.
Who is that? Lou?
Lou.
And
I just want to say that these hydrants have probably been bad for many years, and it's good that we're replacing them. So it should be expedited.
Essential.
Yes.
Essential that we replace them, yes. Okay. So.
Yep.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipaw?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
And Mr. Grauman?
Yes.
Resolution 19-96, authorizing Roberts Engineering Group to advertise the contract for bids.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, which particular contract?
This is for Homestead Lane, Elm Court, Cedar Court, the water main project.
Okay. Not NERCO?
No, that's separate.
Okay.
NERCO doesn't have water.
Good.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Essipaw?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Yes.
As an announcement of my appointment not requiring council approval, and I have appointed Alan Newrath to the planning board. Thank you so much, Alan. As an alternate to fulfill the unexpired term of Chad Broman. Thank you, Chad, because Chad came on the council, thereby eliminating his seat on the planning board. And it expires December 31st, 2019. All right, we come to committee chairs. Tired of going first, Steve?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay. Public Works, Councilmember Bowen.
Yeah, I just want to mention that the few things that were mentioned last meeting, the tree blocking the caution sign for school crossings, overgrown path in Solar Village, and detour signs. Those have all been taken care of.
Great.
So, okay. And then, let's see, moving forward. Greg's been working on the building. It's a power wash in the back of this building, and he's going to also power wash and paint the garage. That's one of his bigger projects. Another significant project we got going on is a lot of maintenance and cleanup work over at the water plant. Mr. Holden made a list of things that he thought needed to be addressed, and Greg Conceal is going to be working on that. Well, we had the, we're getting ready for the fire extinguisher inspection. Greg Basile went around with, I don't know, another organization that comes in and helps us evaluate all that stuff in preparation for the final inspection by the state. So that's been done. Gutters cleaned out. You know, these guys are all over the place with all kinds of activities, and I just want to...
You mean Greg and Greg?
Yeah, Greg and Greg. So I guess that's it for now. I mean, those are the big things.
Can I just ask, the detour signs, did we order some, or...?
Greg's got... I asked Anna today. She said, oh, yeah, he's got them. So,
oh, good.
We're ready for the next
disaster.
Detour.
while we're on that subject, the stop sign at the corner of Oscar and Rochdale.
Oscar and where?
In Rochdale. There's a tree overhanging on it. You can barely see it. I think it would be worthwhile just trimming the tree a little bit.
Yeah, Steve should watch. Anything else for Public Works?
No.
Councilmember Esikoff, administration?
We are administering.
Good. Always good to know.
We can thank that to the ladies who work here. For, I've been around a long time in office, in many offices of different kinds. We are some of the best we've got.
Yeah, we're
absolutely
extremely grateful for Anna and Kathleen and Lori and Kim.
Yep, they are terrific. People actually don't mind coming here.
It's true. Councilmember Dermody, Communities Development and Code Enforcement.
I have nothing new to report. Just want to announce that RAP is going to do the art walk on the 28th. Just for
September?
People to know. Yeah, so they use the trail system by the deli, and they have a lot of local artists put art up along the trail, and you can come walk by. And so that'll be this month. 28th.
Tell them what you...
What's that date again? I'm sorry.
September 28th.
28th. I think it's 1
Tell
to
them
4.
What you mean.
And yeah, we have new chairs for the trail system that will be painted, so they'll be there, and then they'll kind of be put out on the trail itself.
But Luke actually constructed the chairs himself. He made them from scratch.
Yeah. Which trail, from the deli to towards the sewer plant?
That's where the art walk is, and then the chairs themselves will be spaced out throughout the entire trail system.
So from the deli to Tamara?
Right, yeah.
That's great. Cool.
I could smell the wood all the way at my house from when he was sawing it. It smelled so good. Okay, Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
We
do you have any money?
Yes, we have money.
Oh, good.
That's the good news. And we have bills, too, just like you do at home. Well, we had contact from, I guess, one homeowner who had their estimated tax bill received that long yellow thing that you get, and it's got all kinds of information on it, and it's very difficult to read. And so she wanted to know why her taxes appeared to be going up during two quarters and then going down the next two quarters. She couldn't quite figure it out. I pulled my tax bill and started looking at it, and I thought, this is one hell of a thing, because you really can't understand it. It's very difficult. It's a real challenge to understand. So I contacted Anna DeBevick, and she contacted the CFO, and I recommended that we send out something that explains how to read your tax bill. And I wanted it so that my 7-year-old grandson could almost understand it. Some sort of explanation for this is how you read it. This is why... when we have estimated taxes, it's before the new tax rate is struck, so it's based on the last tax rate that was struck, and then it will go up with if taxes are raised, which taxes were raised this time around because the school taxes increased. But it was very complex when I looked at it, and I'm chair of finance, and I've been involved for a long time, and it took me like about a half an hour to read through it before I really understood the whole thing. And I don't think it should be that way. So we should have a mailer soon that will explain it pretty easily, I think. And it's also going to be on the website. So if anybody wants to click on a pull down, and it'll give them a link to how to read the tax bill. We may have new people who move to town, and they look at it and they say, I don't understand this. So it's your money, and I think you should really know how it's being spent and be able to read that bill. If you got a bill from somebody in the mail and it was very complicated and asked you to pay a lot of money, you'd want to know exactly where it was going to. So that's what we want to do, is have it.
Well, Anna did. I was here when Anna explained it to the homeowner, and she did an exemplary job. She made it very clear and easy to understand. But Anna can't go to each house and do that. So yeah. We did talk about, I think she's going to sort of design the flyer that will go out. So cause basically, I didn't know what, I had no idea when I saw it. And then she just explained it perfectly.
And George Lang will review it.
Right.
So it'll be accurate and an easy-to-read guide to your tax bill. But the estimated tax bill is a little bit of a challenge because it seems to rise and then go down again. But I think we're trying to make it easy for people to understand their bills, and I think that'll be a worthwhile thing. And then we'll bring it to committee. And if there's anything else that we think needs an explanation like that, we'll work on that too.
Thanks.
Before you, would it be advisable for the next year? It's a long time from now, I know, but nevertheless, to put in a insert explaining it?
Yeah.
Well, once we have the prototype.
I have to see. Putting it with the tax bill?
Yes. Why not?
Of course it's a possibility. I don't know how that goes out and how we do that, but
we
can
envelope.
Look into it. I know, put
no
it in
offense
the envelope.
Intended.
No, I know. But like with the water sewer bill, we have postcards that we send out. You couldn't put a mailer attached to that because it's a postcard. I just want to make sure I don't promise something that,
but this goes out in an envelope, so we already have one.
Yeah, we could put it in an envelope.
Well, and once Anna designs the prototype, then maybe it wouldn't be that difficult to just run off copies.
But also on the website, too, and that way we're not using up a lot of paper and copies.
I don't think that many people address the website, so
we could do both. Sure.
Yeah.
I just file it. Yeah, my board's coming to pay my tax.
Exactly, right. That's, mine too.
That's
so,
all
right.
I'll let it.
Me too. Okay, Councilmember Roman, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing to report since the last meeting.
Okay. Reports of borough officials. Mike, do you have anything? Did I miss something?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm sorry, Joe.
How did we miss you?
I don't know. Because I was looking at Mike and Chad is next to him. I'm so sorry, Joe.
Everything is moving along with the water plant and the sewer plant. There was a branch that removed. Can you hear me out there? There was a branch that was removed off of a power line over the water tower. There's a valve that stuck at the sewer plant, and they'll get to that, and they're working on it. Should work out pretty well. The stuff that Steve was talking about the fence around the water plant, should be cleared with at least maybe 5 feet on the outside of it.
But the debris?
The branches, the bushes growing on the fence itself.
I think Kyle is going, that's our landscaper, the municipal landscaper.
Yeah.
I think
and
he's
it said you would ask
that.
Him to take a
we
look?
Did ask him. Yeah.
There's also outside the fence of the water plant, there's another fence where there's a sludge holding area. So that should be cleared also, as well as all of the power poles going from over by the factory to the water plant. We've had branches fall on them, so we should be in touch with JCP&L to see, because they're their poles and they tend to take care of that stuff. At the water plant, too, as you're facing the water plant, on the right there's a tower that's like an aerator where they let the water flow down some boards and it aerates the water. I didn't realize there's a room inside of that tower. And inside that room are pieces of equipment that we never knew that we had, that we have purchased from other people. Like when a water main breaks, they put that clamp around it. We have several clamps in there.
Was there a key to this room?
Yeah, John showed me today what's inside this room.
John is our water operator.
Yeah, John Holden's our water guy. There's also a submersible pump in there, brand new, that should we need, we should look it up and figure out what well it goes into and whether it's still usable or not.
So those are for the main...
The main two wells.
One and two and all that that brings the water out of the ground.
Well, the wells have some... There's two wells. We have three and four now.
Sure.
And well three and well four. And they are different pumps and different voltages. So we should see which one this works with and make sure it's working. Because, those are like $8,000 pumps.
Yeah, they are.
And the clamps are like $500 to $1,000 each. So we should take that room apart, clear it, clean it, paint it, put stuff where it needs to be inside the water plant.
When was the last time those pumps were changed out, too?
I think we're talking when Neil was mayor.
So we might want to pull one of those if this one works. Put this one in and send that out.
There are two different types, apparently, Neil told me. One is 208 and one is 240 or something like that. So we need to know what this one is.
Okay.
But it's just been hidden in this room, and you don't want to walk into this room. It's a really spider rodent city, probably. You know? So it wants to get shoveled out. This room does, and that's Public Works. I think we should have another person on Public Works, like an hourly sort of a worker to help with stuff like this.
We were sort of waiting till the end of the summer, and then we'd go and try to find a third person, because Greg and Greg are really on overload.
Yeah, they are.
Before you go, how about that breaker?
The breaker. Oh, the transfer switch.
Transfer switch.
I'm still looking at that. Now, the generator at the water plant, and the electric coming into the water plant. In between the two of them, there's a transfer switch so that if the power goes down coming from the street, the generator kicks on and supplies the water plant with electricity. The current transfer switch that's in there sees two of the three phases of electricity coming into the water plant. If by roll of the dice, the one that's not covered by the transfer switch goes down, then the generator will not turn on. And we've had that two occasions since I've been here. And what we do is kind of go there physically and see if the generator is on. That means that, everything is fine. But if we lose power in town and the generator does not come on, we have to manually turn the generator on, which we have done. So to make it right, we should change the transfer switch to one that will see all three phases of the incoming electricity at a cost installed of around $8,000, I think. So there's been a question about we could do a workaround, and yes, we could. But my personal opinion is we don't mess with town's water. With a workaround, we should put, the real deal in there, but that's a financial thing. So.
I tend to agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. And it could be worked around. We can put a latching relay contactor, yada, yada, but it could be done, but I think it should be a clean thing.
I think it should be what, Joe?
It should be a clean, new switch, new transfer switch put in, my opinion. Okay, so that's about it for now. I'll say this also. In terms of utility, Jim Markey has been really good.
Jim Markey is our liaison from JCP&L.
Yeah.
And he really is very supportive and protective of us.
We call him
Johnny on the spot.
He's the boss. It's like it's really nice to have somebody that's in charge of our district.
I think Jerry Licardi passed the word that he was the previous liaison. I think he passed the word to watch out for us.
Well, it's easy to forget about us out in the panhandle because we're not in the main part of
Monmouth
County.
Yeah, we used to be ignored. You know, when power went out, almost everybody here has been here for a really long time. You'd be out for 8 hours, 2 days, and finally I contacted them, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or so, and pled our case, and this man, Jerry Licardi, really listened and said, and I told him we have a large senior population and this and that. And ever since then, they just get out here as soon as possible, especially to Solar Village. And then, but Jerry retired in May. Was it May of this year or last year?
That was last year.
Yeah, May of 18. Yeah, yeah. And so now we have Jim Markey, and he's just as supportive of us as Jerry
was. Jim was Jerry's boss.
Yeah.
So Jim really handles most of southern central New Jersey in terms of JCP&L.
Right.
And he's taken care of
us. And he still pays attention to us.
And he pays attention.
Yeah, we're really lucky.
He was here at our last meeting. He came in to say hello. And, you know, so. All right, that's it for me.
Thank you, Joe. Okay. Reports of borough officials. Michael, did you want to?
Okay, just a few things to just update everybody on what the Environmental Commission is doing.
Yeah, Environmental Commission report.
Yeah, that we have the, Environmental Commission is organized in committees, which basically undertake different tasks. Mick Murray is in charge of the Forest Management and the Trails Committee. One of the things that he was, there were some obstructions on the trail, and he went and took care of and cut it, so we got that taken care of. Mary Tullis is doing a good job of working with our watershed ambassador and on the stream monitoring, so we're trying to keep track of that. Steve Taylor has been heading the invasive species and also the plantings that we've been doing, and he just advised me that he's getting the milkweed that ready to replant on the other side of the parking lot there. You know, to have the
parking lot here?
Yeah.
Well, Anna, okay. I know, Anna, we asked him. He may want to wait a bit because we are repaving the parking lot.
Right, that's why you know that. Yes,
and it
right.
It may impede.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the milkweed is getting ready. So when
you're
ready, you know, let us know, and then he can do that. Of course,
right.
Also putting milkweed in at the new park over in Spruce Court. And Kim Belong has been heading up the effort on the sustainable jersey. So we're trying to get the credits there, which will qualify us for some grants through that program. Other things, as a historian, Joe and I and the people have been working with Ben Johnson on this program that he's been putting on, and Benjamin Brown, which we'll be seeing at the end of October, which should be really nice.
October 26th.
Right, 26th, and it should be very interesting. And then other things today, I was at Freehold for the CDBG, the Community Development Block Grant, so we had that meeting, which we have twice a year, so okay, that's it.
I'll just tack on to Michael's. On October 26th, Ben Johnson, who's a resident of town, not sure how many of you know him, but he has written and produced a documentary about Benjamin Brown, our
process
founder.
Of producing it, yeah. Still.
Right, about Benjamin Brown, our founder. He's been able to contact many members of Benjamin Brown's family. He's done a tremendous amount of work, and so mark your calendars, because on October 26th, it will be almost a full-day event. We'll have Benjamin Brown's family here, other people, Rooseveltians, people interested in history, and there'll be a luncheon, or actually I think it's been changed to a dinner, an early dinner. But anyway, there'll be people in the Borough Hall, food, and then a talk about the mural, and then it'll move over to the school. Well, it'll move over to the school to talk about the mural, and then view the documentary, and then a Q&A afterward. And as long as all of you are here, which everyone in the audience for once is like a longtime resident, what we'd like to do, I was going to try to contact people one by one. I'd like to have people here just sort of coming into the Borough Hall. I'll give you the times. I'll put the times on the website and on the bulletin board and in the Borough Bulletin. But who've been here a long time, who can talk to his relatives. He has two sons who are two living sons, Benjamin Brown, so they're in their 80s.
Mm-hmm. What is their names?
Oh, Shirley, I don't know. Ben knows. I can find out.
I knew it was too late. My husband was the nephew of Brown. And his wife, he had two sons, Sean and Danny.
I'm not sure it was well known that there were still so many people in town who either knew Benjamin Brown or were connected to him in some way, which is why I want longtime residents to come. So even if you didn't know Benjamin Brown directly, even when I came in 74, I knew so many people who knew him, though, or knew the family. If you've been here for a long time, there's just things that you can talk about to his relatives. The grandchildren are coming, and I believe great-grandchildren, and can talk to them about perpetuating his legacy in Roosevelt. So if possible, come on October 26th. I'll print the times when people will be milling around the Borough Hall and eating. I was also going to ask for volunteers to cook, bake or cook. We're going to try to have a light snack for them, or a light dinner, heavy snack. But anyway,
that's what dinner is.
Yeah, I mean, not soup to nuts, but feed them. You want to feed them. So I was going to ask for volunteers to come and speak to them, and volunteers to maybe provide some food. And it should be a really nice day. And then I can't give you a number because Ben Johnson, who's really organizing all this, doesn't know yet. But some of them are going to sleep over. And so I think we'll have bagels and coffee the next morning. Mike's going to make the coffee. And we'll buy, unless anybody can make bagels, we'll buy bagels and then have them here for breakfast before they go. They're coming from all over. They're coming from Seattle and Washington, Oregon, Washington, D.C., Annapolis, New York. So we're really hoping, this will be.
Let me just say something about the show. Apparently, Ben's been working on this for a couple of years, Ben Johnson.
It's an amazing piece of writing.
Yeah.
And it is so informative.
And research. And, it's hard to do a dramatic reading because, are you going to hold everybody's attention? But I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. I think it's wonderful that we're doing
so what it is like six residents. Judith is one of them. A couple of videos of Michael and Alan Malik, and a screen with all of the research, all of these photographs and things and videos and film from the old country and whatnot that Ben has researched and compiled. So we're putting all this together so there'll be a screen and six people talking. Judith, you come up and...
I was hoping that we could get some of those idiots in New Jersey government.
We have a list.
That's us, too.
We have a list.
Idiots on parade.
I know that everybody thinks that their town is special.
Yeah.
But this is...
Except we really are.
Yeah.
No, we have a list. We met last week and came up with an entire list of who should be contacted. Yeah. To attend, from government officials to the press,
Monmouth County Historic.
They
should be here. Yeah,
we came. We came up with a list of people that we were going to.
Judith.
Okay.
Judith.
Yeah.
Don't call them idiots. We need their money.
Okay. Also, what I found out through all of this research that Ben did was Benjamin Brown started a town in Utah. Mike's brother lives out there, called Clarion. And that town failed. And those people that lived there for 20 years or so still meet and have reunions because it meant so much to them. So this particular utopia here is still existing. So there's something to be said about this.
Yeah. Well, I think we're the last Greenbelt town that exists. That exists autonomously.
Greenbelt. Theodora lived in Greenbelt, Maryland.
Maryland, right. But isn't that, Michael, isn't that part of a larger township now?
Yes, but it's a little garden city.
Right.
As this
I believe we're the
so
last.
So are there any of the others, if they're really municipalities or not?
Pardon me?
Green Hills, Ohio is a municipality.
Yeah, we're one of the only ones, or if not the only one.
Yeah.
And one last thing, which I was going to bring up under new business, but I'll just tack it on now. There's also an exhibit at Morvan, I believe November 15th, I have to check, is the opening exhibit. And it's all about Roosevelt, our utopia. And I already know for certain that many former Rooseveltians are coming back for it.
Where is that?
It's Morvan, which is it used to be the governor's mansion, but now it's the governor's residence, but now it's a museum. They built Trump thwack it and tossed out Morvan.
And this runs for several months.
Yeah, Morvan does. But there's an opening reception. And I know, the Bergs, their son is coming back, Michael Berg. There's a lot of people coming to, and I'm also, I will also put that in the Borough Bulletin and on the bulletin board and publicize it as much as we can. But these are two events, you know, concerning our history and our existence that are happening close to each other. So, okay. So we come to new business.
Old business, not.
Right. So disregard the first item under new business because that's been canceled, the use of the Barrel Hall.
We're rehearsing at the school. Then.
Right. So, yeah. Next we have curbside branch pickup, which is scheduled for October 14th, 2019. I think everyone knows, put your branches out by the curb before that date. And I think the specifications are where?
Anna's going to have a flyer.
Yeah, Anna will put the flyer out telling you, you know, no more than whatever dimensions. Okay. And Big Trash Day is October 21st, 2019. Yeah, she doesn't have the flyer yet. Okay, when the flyer goes out, it'll specify the size of the branches. Big Trash, October 21st, 2019. So now we'd like to discuss the ordinance about pet waste. We've discussed it before, but... Okay, first.
We weren't going to...
Are you not doing it?
Well, we could. You want to do... Lou, how do you feel about having a first reading about pet waste? Basically, this is to hold dog owners accountable for their dogs. for their dogs. And, you know, so you have to pick up after your dog.
We call it ordinance number two.
Very clever.
Yeah, that's
1936. Do you want to do a... Can we put it on now as a first reading? Is it too late? It's too late. Okay, we'll have it. Is there anybody who wanted to say anything about it? Because otherwise we can put it on for first reading for the meeting of the 23rd. We're all in favor of it?
What are we talking about?
Well, we thought we could have the first reading tonight, but we can't since it's not on the agenda as first reading. So we'll have it on for the meeting of the 23rd.
The pet waste.
The pet waste.
Yeah.
What the hell
is that? Lou's pet project.
I just have one thing to say about it. I lived in the Village in New York
when there was none,
then there was one, and the difference was you didn't have to take off your shoes when you came into your apartment.
No, you didn't have to walk with your head down.
You didn't have to look at the side, and it made all the difference, and nobody seemed to mind. They just...
No.
Well, we have signs that, like on the way to the cemetery, that say pick up after your dog, but we didn't have an ordinance. And I don't think there's too many people that flagrantly are obnoxious about it, but I guess there's enough.
Well, I'll tell you, according to my fire
hydrant. Right, according to his fire hydrant, that's how it came up. Right. That's how this issue arose.
My fire hydrant is calling for a doctor.
My cat's pretty good about this stuff, so.
Yeah, exactly.
He won't mind at all.
Okay, so we'll have that as a first reading for the next on the next agenda.
With that being on?
Yeah.
That's fine. What's the date of the
23rd?
So that would be the 23rd for first reading.
All right, we come to discussion about the ordinance for tree protection, which we have discussed many times at this point. But included in your packet is, a sample ordinance.
9 pages.
So I think the best thing for us to do would be to read this in our own time, not tonight, and come back on the 23rd. And
I can put it on the 23rd for the first reading.
For the first reading, right. Does anyone want to sort of...
Is this the one from
Rumson?
Rumson.
I read the whole thing. And I think
I knew you would have.
And I think it's great.
Yeah.
I
think it's absolutely needed.
It's got some leeway in it. Yeah. Intelligent leeway.
Then Lou, since you read it, can you just give a quick summary?
The summary is very simple. That if you are going to cut a tree, you're going to have to let us know you're going to do it, whether it's on your property or on public property. Now, I had a question whether you could really tell people what they should do. can and cannot do on their property. But it turns out that you can, because Rumson does it.
And many other towns, Princeton, they're all
over. And we're doing this because there are people that are coming into town and clear-cutting their lawns. And, you know, Roosevelt is trees, folks.
Well, I've said
and
this.
And it takes 10 minutes to cut a tree and 100 years to grow one.
Well, I've said this many times. I mean, if you look at the New Jersey Magazine article where we were voted the number one town in New Jersey, the first line of the description of us is that we're a farm agrarian community. And I think what's even more egregious is not just people are clear-cutting their lawns, but then they're moving. There's a family that clear-cut way back into the Greenbelt 2 years ago, and now they just sold their house. And as I said before, I don't really understand why someone moved to the country and cut all the trees down, but that's
but
what's happening.
It's not one tree. There is stipulation that removing a more than 20% of the total number of trees, 6-inch in caliber.
I'm going to mention that it's anything that's 6 inches or over in by caliber. So we're not talking about saplings. If you're out in the yard and you see trees growing, you can cut them down. But
we're being reasonable. I mean, we're not.
Hello?
Listen, in a concert
final four was going on.
At the public portion. Okay.
So
on the 20th, the agenda of the 23rd, we will have the first reading of the pet waste ordinance and tree protection. Oh, I'm sorry, I do want to mention that as part of the tree ordinance, we will have to hire a tree conservation officer, and that's a certified arborist or tree specialist, and they will work in conjunction with our code enforcement officer so that they can make the determination whether a tree is healthy or not well or a hazard to the house or whatever, you know, that it's near. It won't just be arbitrary. We'll have an arborist making the determination with the...
Well, that could be Jeremy, correct?
Well, Jeremy needs to... Our code enforcement officer will work with the arborist to go to inspect the tree and make the decision whether it's...
Peggy, could they put this on the website so people can look it over and have comments on it and whatnot?
I'm not sure.
Well, what happens is you have a first reading.
Yeah, then the first reading first.
And then this will go on the website, and then they come back for the second reading and have
to make
comments.
Okay.
Mr. Dougherty, I gave you the name of one.
Yep. Yeah, I actually reached out to him a while back. And this is before we had any ordinance, but he said he'd be interested in working with
us. He's a
sweet guy. So we could reach back out now that we have the ordinance. And
I understand
see
he's very knowledgeable, and he's a very nice man.
Okay. Yeah, I'll reach back out to him.
He's very reasonable.
Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion?
So
actually, Andrew, that tree expert or that certified tree, what is it called?
Arborist.
Tree arborist. Should that go on for an RFQ so they could submit?
Depends on how much. Yeah, probably. But
I don't know how much that would be.
I don't know what it would cost. Is it de minimis enough? But we'll take a look at it.
Or is it piecemeal for each time they come out?
So at least you have a,
All right. So we come to public comment on any item. Open public comment at 7:49 p.m. Gail? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see. I'm sorry, June. Did you want to go first so you could leave? I called on Gail. I didn't.
No,
Okay, Gail. We need your name and spell it, please, and your address.
Gail Hunton, H-U-N-T-O-N. I'm at 19 Homestead Lane. For those of you who may not know me, I know some of you here. I've lived here since 1984. I'm the author of the National Register nomination. That's how I got recruited to come here, to the Solar Utopia. And I sat on the planning board for many years. Mr. Esikoff was on the board, and Mr. Hamilton was on the board, and Tickham was on the board, and Kate was on the board.
You're dating yourself.
Yes. During the time where we had all our troubles with the developers and move to preserve our green belts. So I'm here to support the tree ordinance. When I was chairman of the planning board, we did draft a tree protection ordinance, but we did not have the support of the mayor and council then, mainly because we were battling so many fronts. We had developers at our door, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like too much to handle. So what I would like to do, and I know Kate, is, who was the principal author of the ordinance, I work for the Monmouth County Park System, by the way, and I think it had something to do with the addition of part of Roosevelt to Corindale Lake Park, preserving the greenbelt. But the main point I wanted to say was, as a longtime resident and valuing what this community has stood for historically, but also quality of life, I think we've become a little complacent that everybody shares the values, that our trees are important, that certain physical features and social features are important to us. And so the ordinance, a lot of what makes Roosevelt special is because we are laid back and that we don't micromanage everybody's property. But the reality is, you know, we're not old, long-time residents. People come in, and I've seen some really awful things happen in town, and people tearing down big specimen trees for no reason. And I'm happy to know, although I haven't read the ordinance, I'm familiar with, for instance, many towns in Monmouth County have tree ordinances, especially the well-established towns. And I think we can say we're well-established at this point.
83 years.
Yeah, with the help, with the outside assistance of an arborist, I work with an arborist at the park system, and we do the same thing. If we have a complaint about a tree that might be a public hazard or might be diseased, because these things happen, we call in the arborist who has an independent professional opinion. So that protects, I think, the property owner from arbitrary and capricious actions, and I think gives some protection. Maybe we can get a grant to help support the arborist fee. I don't know, but we could.
That would be wonderful.
So I would encourage the council to please, you know, pass the ordinance. This was 20 years ago when Kate and I worked on the ordinance. We were just remembering that. It would be great to finally have it. Thank you for your time.
Do you still have the old ordinance available, or?
We may.
Okay.
I think we tossed it.
I think
Okay, thank you very much.
I just thought we would, once we have this ordinance, like next week or first, we can always tweak it. You know, it's we can do, you know, we can write it however we want. So we value your input. You know,
the 6-inch caliber. I've consulted with many towns who have had tree ordinances. A 6-inch caliber, you know, some are larger or something, but that seems to be a pretty good size. But I'll let Kate, she's the landscape architect, comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Kate.
I'm supposed to say
full
my
name.
Kathleen John Alder.
An address.
And 48 Pine Drive. Thank you, Gail. It was really a wonderful experience, I think it was 20 years ago, to write the tree ordinance. And we were at that time actually thinking more about the protection of open space, which was still borough property and not part of the park system. But one of the things, I just skimmed through the ordinance that you have from Rumson briefly, and I'd like the council to note that there are several types of trees. There are shade trees and there are ornamental trees. And both have value and both can be quite old, but an ornamental tree may never reach a 6-inch caliber. So serviceberry, dogwoods, etc. And so you might want to think of putting language in there that you would talk about different types of trees. I've also seen ordinances where they separate out evergreen trees from the deciduous trees and that type of thing. So you might want to insert language in that or work again with an arborist or an can talk
Could
a little
you
bit more.
Provide a sample of that type of language?
I'm trying to find the old ordinance, and at the time when we put it together, I had my own business, and my partner actually wrote the ordinance for the state of Maryland, and so we used a lot of that language within it, and I'll try to contact Mary Beth as well, but I'm looking for it, but I just remember that we had different categories at the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mike?
Michael Tixon again. I certainly support the idea of these ordinances. There are a few technicalities I just wanted to point out that you might want to look at. One thing within the pet waste ordinance, there's an exemption for anybody who has the required the use of a disability assistance animal. I presume the idea was that somebody who is blind and needs a seeing eye dog would not be required to pick up after. Okay. The only thing is this happens to be something, if you can look up online examples of articles about pigs flying.
About what?
Pigs flying. Which is very fun. It's very funny articles, but nonetheless, it's a real problem that the airplanes. People have been claiming that animals that they bring along with them are emotional support animals. So they, and this is like some case where people, their pig, their emotional support pig, has to go with them on the plane. So this was an extreme
or
case.
Or miniature horses.
But nonetheless, you know, the fact that the disability assistant, that's a very broad term. And, you know, people can say that they need this animal with them for emotional support or something, and therefore they're exempt under the ordinance. So you might want to be very specific as to seeing eye dogs.
Guide dogs,
whatever you want to call them. But
that's,
you know,
what they're
right.
called.
Okay, right? Whatever the right name is.
My sister teaches blind people, that's why
seeing eye
is a brand name.
Be very specific, because this is something that has been been taken far, far beyond that and could be more than an ordinance. The other thing on the tree ordinance, there were just a couple of things. There's one thing where you say the 20% of the trees of the size, et cetera, within an area on a lot. Okay. What is the area? Within an area on a lot. How do we define?
What section were you in?
I'm looking at several places there where it's like, for example, in where they have, like in
18.4,
the definition 3, talks about within an area on a lot.
Yeah.
And exactly what does that mean? So my idea of an area maybe, which I'm not cutting down 20% of the trees, because I define an area as a larger portion of my lot. So you have to have come up with some way of making this a little more precise, so it's something that's enforceable. Because I think there's an enforcement problem there. The other thing that I saw, there are references to Zoning Board of Adjustment. We don't have a Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Well, this is strictly
so that's
for
the sort of thing
that
should be taken out.
Right,
that should be taken out. Okay.
Yeah.
And then another thing, again, a technicality, but there's a list of in areas R1, R2, R3, R4, R5, R6, and our zoning map doesn't use those terms. We have 40, we have R100. We don't have an R1, R2, R3, R4, R5, and R6, so that should be changed also.
And could I just, I've asked you this at a couple meetings, but since we have gotten into a deeper discussion here, could you just reiterate, Mike, that the state is very interested in the protection of our trees, and we get those, you know, from the Environmental Commission?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, with the forestry, you know, we have, you know, all these incentives, forestry incentives and things, you know, trying to get, to qualify for grants, perhaps for forestry purposes. Yeah, and that's personally... The DEP is certainly encouraging community forestry. There's this whole division of urban community forestry, which we've been, dealing with.
We need an arborist for those forestry arborists for some of those situations also to get grants for clean, not clean communities, but for...
Well, that was another thing that the tree inventory. But the question was, if we did a tree inventory, you know, what exactly? You have a tree inventory is useful if you have a planting program. You want to make sure that there's a proper distribution of different species in your parks. Well, we don't have a planting program, so it's not clear what we would, having gotten a tree inventory, what we would do with it. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. I just want to clear up a little. If you're looking at the ordinance, where it says an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt augmenting the Borough Code to include new chapter, it's 19, not 18. I don't know if anyone's expecting it that closely. Gail? Sure.
You can get grants for doing a tree inventory. We do it in our system all the time, and I'm now thinking about it. I think it's really important because there's a difference between native trees, of course, and invasive. So if we inventory of the trees that are really true components of both the green belt and also the planting landscape, that would be valuable to do.
And you think it's possible to get a grant?
I think so, yes.
Because this area...
I worked on Ted Waller's market strategy guests about 20 years.
Mike, as long, I'm sorry to keep calling the same people, but I think we might as well discuss tree and then...
Just to clarify, the problem that we had with that issue of getting the grant was you had to lay out the money. I talked to George Lang about this. We've had to lay out the money first. And unless we had an assurance of getting money, we wouldn't be able to go beyond the budget, the rather limited budget the Environmental Commission has. So if the council wanted to allocate more money for that purpose, fine, we could do it. But with the funds we have available, we would not be able to do it unless we had insurance, and you have to get the insurance until you file the application.
Yeah, that's 22.
And you have to do this to get file the application.
Right. All right, well, we'll definitely start working on it. Okay, June Counterman, come to the mic. Yes. Name and address.
Okay. I'm June Counterman. I live at 57 Lake Drive. I've lived there for approximately 58 years, so anything else you want to know about me?
So you're a newcomer.
Right.
I'm a newcomer. Right. I live in the original, in a house that no one else lived in, so it's my house. When I first moved into Roosevelt, they used to say, whose house are you living in, you know, or whose house are you renting? So anyway, they
got to be a kid. I brag because I'm only the second owner, but you've got me twice.
We got the good stuff. Anyway, why I am here is to say that I am a retired member of the Roosevelt First Aid Squad. Okay, I am a trained EMT. I do not hold certification. I also am trained to be an instructor in EMT. So therefore, I do know something about first aid. Well, on August 17th, my life changed. My husband choked on food and passed out. We dialed 911 immediately, and between my son and I, we were able to stabilize him. So we were there. He was on the floor, and we were around him and keeping him going, and I was talking to the 911 guy. And anyway, finally a policeman arrived and stood there and looked. And I thought that was nice. He was really pleasant. And then, following that, finally, two EMTs arrived on a fire truck. Well, guess what? You can't take anybody to the hospital on a fire truck. It doesn't work. So they came in the house, and they did the basic stuff, and then we had a lot of time to talk. And then another policeman came in. I guess they wanted to see what was going on. I don't know. But it took a very long time. Finally, 40 to 45 minutes later, an ambulance arrived. I find this very, very appalling in Roosevelt, anywhere, to have to wait this length of time for any help to arrive. And I think it's time that if Roosevelt cannot get enough volunteers, which it really sounds we're at that point, it is now time for us to have our own paid squad in Roosevelt. Because some of the comments I heard while I had all this time waiting was not good from Millstone, unfortunately. And I don't want to put down the two EMTs that came. They were really great. They were there to help. But they were the only two that had enough guts to come out and help us. So I really feel it's time for us to look into our own paid squad. First of all, people can't put that amount of time into serving a community without being paid. When I was on the squad, I mean, we put hours right out on our knees. And weekends, you name it, I got up many a night, you know, threw my jumpsuit on and ran, you know, and people won't do that anymore because they have a family. I mean, we had a family too, but luckily at that point I didn't have to work. But I think we really need to address it. and come up with a solution. If we have a paid squad, then we would have coverage 24/7, not just when somebody happened to be available. And also, I'm working on another idea on how to help the community, but I want to put more effort into it, bring that up at another time. But that's totally separate. Yes.
June, can I ask what day of the week was it and what time
was it? That was on a Saturday midday. It was 10 of 12, or say 11:50. Time the ambulance got there, it was about 1:45.
On a Saturday?
Saturday.
June.
And if I had not been trained, and my son, who was trained in the Navy, things would have been different, totally different. And I don't want anyone to have to go through, whether they have an infant, a child in school, or an adult, or a senior, you know. They should never have to go through that again, because all life is valuable.
I'll tell you what I do know. So everyone is aware of this problem. Apparently, all the small towns are experiencing this. I went to a meeting last March that the sheriff held at the Monmouth County Library for Western Monmouth to come to. The county wants to institute countywide first aid. So far, three counties in the state have it, Gloucester, Warren, I forget the third. It's working extremely well. However, after that meeting, which everyone was, you know, really excited about, it just sort of fell away, and I think it's on hold for a while. But we're not the only town that's experiencing this. Towns cannot get volunteer EMTs anymore. We do have a tiny squad that frequently can't respond. Unfortunately for you and Bill, you are not the only ones. This is all I've heard for months and months now. There's been many instances of people waiting between 30 minutes and 45 minutes.
And that's really ridiculous.
It's unacceptable.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's unacceptable. It can't.
Yes.
I mean, what
we're
responsible.
We're responsible for
the first golden minute has gone.
We're responsible for the health and safety of our residents. So it's an unacceptable situation.
I think this should be on the front burner, along with the services provided by JCP&L. I mean, they are.
We have to wait till your turn. So, I can tell you, so I've been going to a lot of meetings. I've also had meetings with Millstone about providing interim help until the real medical help gets here. Apparently, Millstone has, what they've been doing is they have EMT, their firefighters are EMTs.
But their firefighters,
right, they can't take
don't
you to
want
the hospital.
Come to Roosevelt.
Well,
sorry.
They do.
I was
told
they
do. No,
the
they told me
no,
that.
No, they don't have
an ambulance.
Well, they have one ambulance or a couple. No,
they told June that they didn't have.
No, I can tell you 100%. They can't take you to the hospital. They can come and be here very quickly and provide at least the beginning help until the either EMTs or paramedics get here. So that is in the works now, discussing, and it's imminent. It's imminent. I was on the phone. Mike and I were at a meeting with Millstone fire officials, fire commissioners, and then I had a number of phone calls, even up until including this afternoon. Millstone is very anxious, and how it would work is that when the 911 call goes out, Millstone firefighters, who are all certified EMTs, they can usually be here, 2 minutes. They would come and provide, I'm not sure what that's called, but the very beginning to keep you alive until the medical help gets here.
Right.
So we are in talks to begin that. I do think the countywide system will take place, probably not for about a year, though. That's the word I've got.
So what is the problem with Roosevelt looking into their own paid squad?
Well, I think the problem with that, beside all the logistics, is that by the time it actually materializes, it comes to fruition, the county would be ready to take over. And so it would sort of negate the need for your own. Towns can't afford it, or even when they can, they just can't get the volunteers or the employees. And so I think, and I don't know, this is just, you know, off the top of my head, that by the time this would come to fruition, the county will be ready. And it was explained to us how the county would work, which is that all of the EMTs in your own town are welcome to either continue on as volunteers with the county or receive additional training and certification and join, you know, and be employed by the county. Mm-hmm. But I think that logistically it may, and again, I haven't researched this, it just seems that by the time we could put this together in Roosevelt, the county would be ready to provide countywide. You might want to look into Gloucester and Warren. It's supposed to, they talked about it extensively, that it's working beautifully there. And again, every squad in every town has the opportunity to join the countywide. But again, that's not, it's probably not for a year or so. So in the, we have to figure out what to do in the meantime.
Okay.
So whether that is putting our own together with, you know, a paid squad or implementing Millstone's help faster than,
okay,
we'll see. But I know, believe me, that you may not hear it from us, you may not read about it in Borough Bulletin. We're discussing it all the time because we know. This is like the third or fourth instance just since June. That,
well, it needs to end.
Right.
I mean, period, end.
Absolutely.
You know, if it's your loved one, suddenly it's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
I, two things. Number
name,
one.
Name and address.
Irene Block, Lake Drive.
She's first aider, too.
I know. That when June told me she was a member of the squad for 25 years, responding every single call and captain for more. The fact that the town thinks that there's a squad there is a danger. And it should be publicized that there is not a squad available. Because dialing 911 and waiting and looking out the window for the ambulance is a very, very, very detrimental thing to the person who's waiting.
Because it's terrifying.
June is qualified to make decisions, but in that moment, she didn't call me, and I was just down the street. So you don't function as someone who's in charge of a crisis, because our first piece of training was the emergency was over when we arrived.
But
and
when it's personal, you don't think clearly.
A false sense of security that every member of this town has. And I don't know what the answer is, but I don't know if everyone in town is aware of it, because I think the situation would be completely different.
It's a touchy subject.
It's a life. It's more important than the trees.
Absolutely.
And I think,
won't get,
you know, we spent a lot of time, and I understand the green belt, but I don't want to see a dead belt here with trees and no residents.
What are we supposed to do in the meantime?
Come up to the mic.
Today is your birthday.
Today is your birthday. Happy birthday, Jerry.
She wants to know what should we do in the meantime. We didn't have to do in the meantime. And her daughter is
young, you know.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Jerry.
She has the 9/9/19. She has the medical alert, but who doesn't?
I know.
It's a very frightening false sense of security.
Well,
the alert doesn't do any good.
I guess the only contract
to
Millstone immediately. Yeah. The only I can tell you that I can call.
It has to be addressed ASAP.
Millstone has been hounding us. They're imploring us to contract. I don't know if it's a contract, but whatever, you know, for lack of a better word, to contract with them for them to. In other words, as soon as they get the call, they'll come right out.
Peggy,
with the fire.
If somebody falls out of a tree, they're going to come down here and they're going to say, yes, we'll fix you up. And then they're going to wait and wait and wait for an ambulance.
Well, they can keep you going just until the medical.
But that's not enough always.
No.
If you're doing CPR, let me tell you, it's a very long time for someone to come.
Well, they are certified EMTs. They just can't take you to the hospital.
EMT
right.
Also, and I did CPR from Roosevelt to Princeton, and I couldn't move the next day. Who else is there going to do it?
Well, I want to tell you something. Even if we implement a paid squad, it won't happen overnight. So you're right. We have to.
It won't happen overnight, but something has to be done in the meantime. Whether it's telling the people, if you have an emergency that you can't wait an ambulance for, get in your car and take them to an ER or a Mediquick or something that's around the corner where you can have, because having people wait is terrible. It's terrible.
And it's dangerous. It's not just it's dangerous.
It's nice. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to work on a plan, and I'll present it next month.
I would just love that.
And I will help her.
I'd help her.
We'll get an audience.
Just
let us know what you need to work on that plan, if you need facility use here to meet here. You need professionals to meet with your...
Can I...
Well, let's do it. Let's do it. That'd be great. Good.
All right, well, this...
What's the existing plan? I mean...
The existing plan...
If our guy can't show up, what happens then? I mean, who eventually showed up 45 minutes later? Who was that?
Millstone came.
It was a hate squad from
Robert Johnson.
There was just two people, one in the back with my husband. The other one drove, and he wasn't quite sure how to get over there. I think it's all in his GPS system. So he's
like, is there a problem with the system that's in place now? I mean, is there a reason why it took 45 minutes instead of 45 minutes?
Because what they told me, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's all right.
What they told me was Millstone had a bad accident, and a lot of the people were there, and they had backup helping them. But obviously, the people that were there didn't want to come to Roosevelt. And the story went on and on and on, and I'm thinking, oh, dear God, if I wait much longer, I'll put him in the car, and I'll take him over myself.
I want to hear about the people who didn't want to come here.
Yeah, I'm not sure that.
What was said, and I don't want to put down the two EMTs that came. Yeah. They were precious for coming, trust me.
Two EMTs from Millstone?
You know, from Millstone? They didn't say firemen. They said the EMTs don't want to come to Roosevelt because they don't want to go there. They don't like it. They didn't say anything, but they don't want to be there.
Maybe they don't want to step on their first aid squatter's toes with that. I don't know.
Here? No, Millstone. No, never first aid squad.
No, well, they contract out to Robert Wood Johnson. They contract out to Robert Wood Johnson.
So when I requested it going to Princeton, the guy said, well, this is a paid squad. We'll take them wherever you want. And I thought, I'd say, you better have it after waiting 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I haven't gotten a bill yet, but we're waiting 45 minutes.
There's a cost if you go by ambulance.
That's right.
A tremendous cost unless you're admitted.
Right.
Know why would they say they don't want to come to Roosevelt?
I think they're not familiar with Roosevelt because I've seen some emergency vehicles come in by the horse farm, come down to Rochdale instead of going straight. I don't know.
I mean, I have had these meetings with Mike knows he was with me, and they are anxious to come to Roosevelt.
To come in a positive way or anxious?
No, they're anxious to come in a positive way. They approached us about supplementing and helping out.
They
wanted
know
us to meet immediately with our first aid squatters and tell them
where
that.
Where are they, the first aid squatters? Do we have any?
We do. Peggy's in contact with them. We're trying to get a meeting together with them and also with Millstone to make sure that we can get this working right.
We need an ambulance.
Yeah.
Two EMTs is still not enough.
No.
Because you have to have two in the back.
Law is actually only need two. One to drive and one to be in the back. That's the law.
We could not roll without that.
No, you can't.
Listen,
June, was this about
my
six months ago? How long ago was it?
No, a couple of weeks ago.
August 17th.
September, there's a month ago.
Not even. Just a few. Okay, you have, we're on it, but we'll do it.
We donate money to the first aid squad.
Yeah, we do. We donate $20,000 a year. To them.
Now, you have to remember that the first aid squad is an independent organization. They don't belong to the borough. We donate $20,000 a year and two bays for the ambulances.
Right.
They are like the fire department was part of Roosevelt, belonged to the town.
Not a functioning but responding, I would like to see what their roll call is, how many calls they've answered. Because if they haven't answered any at $20,000, I'd rather plant a tree. It's just take the money that you're allocating and that we're donating as people. Residents and let them have whatever they're doing with it because they're not servicing the community.
Right.
I'd like to know. We kept roll calls. We kept call sheets.
Right.
Where at what time and what time they got back and the radio contact with everything. I can talk about the radio.
No, I mean, you're sitting here now, but we've been discussing this nonstop.
That exact thing has been discussed. Yeah, we want the call sheets. We want to know who was there, what the call was. We don't need names. We want to know what the call
was.
We want to know when the call came in and when they actually responded.
Again, last week.
But can you get that from the county?
We'll get it.
Can you get that from the county?
We can get it from the county.
I don't think you can get everything.
It all goes to 911.
One at a time, one at a time.
It's very hard. It's very hard to get the 911. Yeah, it's hard to get the 911 calls from the county or the state anymore. It used to be easy. Now there's a whole process.
How many they respond? Yeah, honestly, Irene, that was asked for. Even
our department, we should be able to just get
the Office of Emergency isn't that hard for them?
Well, no, because they're an independent organization. They're not part of our town.
But they have to be licensed and trained. Who accredits them?
We should be able to get information from our first aid.
We'll look into all of
them. They're not doing what they should be told. They should be disbanded.
Well, we could do that anyway.
We can as a town.
Mayor, can we form an ad hoc committee with members of the public who really want to get this done and try to work together as government officials and also our citizens and professionals to get something implemented immediately and get it and sit down and work right now. Sit down and do this.
But we actually are doing that right now.
I know, but it's not coordinated yet.
No, okay, let me ask you a question. The person that I've been in touch with the most from Millstone, I think he's one of the fire commissioners, he is willing to come here and explain. Now, he was actually willing to come tonight, but I just wasn't sure.
Jim Corbin?
What?
Jim?
No, Jeff Wagner.
Jeff Wagner.
And he's willing to come here and present to the council, to the public, what exactly Millstone is offering us. Mm-hmm. Because we need something immediately. And so this can happen immediately.
What they want to do is respond immediately, along with any first aiders that happen to be here and are able to respond. And if our first aiders are there first, they could call them off theoretically.
They don't want to step on any toes.
But we want to build we want to have a redundant system immediately so that somebody's here and quickly.
Right.
It's time.
And Millstone
can get here in
about 3 minutes. So
yeah,
because the firefighters are 24/7, whether they're volunteer, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. they're paid, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. they're volunteer. Whether they're paid or volunteer, they're at the firehouse 24 hours a day. So they are here in about 2 minutes. So I can, you know, I've been on the in contact with them constantly. We were trying to arrange a meeting with our first aid squad and them. That hasn't happened, but I can.
Maybe they could drive someone.
That they can't do. Yeah. But anyway, would you like me to bring them in on the 23rd and have them speak to everyone?
I hear what they say.
Yeah.
I would also like to discuss with Mike Hamilton.
Yeah.
When I have plans with the community, it has nothing to do with it's an internal system to help one another.
Yeah, let's do that.
Until the ambulance arrives.
Wait.
Train everyone in town.
June, we're probably not getting. No one's at the mic. We're probably not getting any of this on the tape recorder.
Probably hear it. Yeah.
Go ahead, Lou.
You know what?
It's a public portion, Lou. So let's finish. Hold that thought, because it is the public portion. So let everyone.
No, I think it's part of it.
Okay. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Why did they not come with an ambulance when they knew it wasn't a fire?
Millstone.
Yeah.
Millstone doesn't have very many
ambulances.
Well,
they have one ambulance that's parked that's there.
They contract out to Robert Wood Johnson.
Oh,
so
okay.
They themselves, I don't think, have a first aid squad anymore.
Oh, okay.
So what they're offering is every firefighter is a certified EMT. So what they'll do is they can have a firefighter here in 2-3 minutes, and then they will do whatever necessary life-saving measures until someone comes with an ambulance.
So people who live in Millstone, if they have an emergency, their fire department comes first, and then
they have
Robert Wood Johnson.
Robert Wood Johnson first aid squad vehicle there.
Yeah.
But that That doesn't mean they can respond because they may be on another call.
Right. But they do have a number of firefighters, so they can be here.
They have a Robert Wood Johnson.
They contract out to Robert Wood Johnson.
An ambulance sitting there 24/7. Robert Wood Johnson ambulance there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
With EMTs.
They have EMTs there, yeah.
Not the fire.
Two volunteer Robert Wood Johnson.
I understand.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if in other words, if there are multiple calls, so the Robert Wood Johnson ambulance may be on a call with their EMT, but their firefighters.
You have to have a redundant system. You've got to have a backup. And so if they both respond at the same time, fine, but you can't have nobody respond because somebody's out on the call. Okay.
Maybe that's why they want to work with us. If we have ambulances, they could have EMTs here. The ambulance can pop somebody in. They can fill them.
Well, we had Monarch who was...
Monarch is on the way out, I believe.
I know. We had a Monarch ambulance that was here, that was stationed here in this part of the county, right here in Roosevelt for a while.
Well, what it sounds like is we need some real coordination locally,
we do.
Spreading out
well,
from
Millstone
here, as opposed
is
to
ready
waiting
to
for
go
people to come.
To at least right now what? Provide additional needed support.
Chad is safety committee. We should sit down with Chad and all of them and start to work this out, I think, as soon as possible. Yeah.
I guess we'd have to find out if when Millstone gets here, can they use our ambulance? I don't know. But you want Chad, you know...
Millstone's the first aid squad.
Yeah, because it's their
hours. Right. So, and how their
insurance
is
all set up. You know, why don't we... form the ad hoc committee with Mike and the and residents, and then Chad and I can work from the other end with Millstone to see how fast we can get that implemented, so at least we have something better than what we have now.
Okay.
And
we can set that up after the public
can I ask
portion.
Another question?
Sure.
If the fire people come, they are EMTs, and they use and they take our and can they
I
take
don't know
our,
if they can do that.
Can
no,
they
I
use
really
our ambulance to take someone to
well,
the
Chad
hospital?
Well, Chad and I
but
can.
But they're not our ambulances.
They're not ours.
Roosevelt First Aid Squad.
All right, but is that accepted?
That might be able to be worked out. We don't know. That's what we have to look at.
I think that's very viable.
We have to herd the cats.
What?
Well, Chad and I will work with Millstone on that end of it.
That's a viable.
I'll work with the committee.
Yeah.
You want to set it up after we.
Right.
After
can you, everyone will stay till the end of the meeting, and then we can set up. Okay.
Peggy.
Let's do it.
These people are EMTs. If they get permission to use our ambulance.
If they get permission, right? But
why
we don't
they
have.
Not?
They're not our ambulances.
Wait. I understand that.
Right.
Whoever has to give permission.
Right.
Why would they not?
I can't answer that, Lou. They may not. I can't.
I would disband them if I were me.
Let's,
if they don't allow it.
We're in
Nancy.
The public portion, right?
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Nancy Warnick, 4 Homestead Lane. I just wanted to say that I do agree that the public should know that we really do not have first aid coverage in town. And I know of two people who did call the ambulance and for an ambulance. And it did take approximately 45 minutes. And they got a bill for over $800, which they had to pay.
Did that? Where did that come from? Do you know?
From the Robert Wood Johnson ambulance.
Yeah, they hard billed.
Yeah. Secondly, back to the dog waste ordinance. We used to have a little blurb in the Borough Bulletin every month that said,
dog.
"Be a good neighbor, pick
we
up
still
after
do,
your dog."
I think.
No,
no,
it hasn't been in there for years. And last thing I want to bring out: there is a sign on Homestead Lane if you're heading toward North Rochdale. It's behind the stop sign, facing Rochdale, and it said no vehicles over 5 tons. You cannot see it because it's between...
That's my street, and I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's behind the stop sign facing Rochdale, behind the street sign. So it's in between those two signs, and it's shaded by the evergreens. And it's really for...
The evergreens on the corner?
Yes, and it's really for traffic coming this
on
way,
Homestead.
Eastbound on Homestead. But those vehicles can't see it, and we do have a number of large flatbeds with heavy equipment coming down there, and rather than use the truck route, they use Homestead. And it would be better to have that sign on the opposite side of the street as they make that turn so that they can see it going west instead of facing,
you know,
facing east.
I knew that we had always prohibited trucks on that on the streets, and that they had to use the truck route. And that, and I've wondered about that many times when I see these huge trucks barreling down. And I wonder, and I'm the mayor, and I wondered if we still had that.
Yeah, it's still there. I checked on my way here.
Yeah, I mean, if we were enforcing that, or we, you know, because I know all the trucks come down now, and they're the whole reason. That's our industrial area.
Right.
You're supposed to go down Oscar.
And it says 5-ton limit. Anything over 5 tons.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Nancy. Anyone else like to say anything from the public at all? All right. Close the public portion at 8:30. And I'm sorry, I should have, at 7 o'clock, introduced our substitute attorney, Andrew Sobel.
I think I'm up here now.
Oh, good, all right.
Oh, good.
Yeah, here for Greg Cannon tonight. Okay, do we have a need for a closed session?
Can I make a motion to form an ad hoc committee at this point?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to form an ad hoc committee, and the mayor would be appointing members of that committee to work on the first aid issue to make sure that we have a good responsive plan to serve the community.
Do I have any volunteers for the ad hoc committee?
Yeah.
Irene and June?
I'd like to be on that committee. I'd like to see Chad on there also.
Well, you can't have Lou wants to be on. Can't have, Chad's going to work with me.
Chad's on safety committee. So
no, but he and I are going to deal with Millstone. We're going to do it on, from the other end.
You can't have four.
You can't have four.
All right.
So Chad
well,
and
we
I.
Well, we could advertise it. Okay.
Well, I'd rather.
We could advertise it.
Chad and I will work with Millstone now and try to get. And then you can have Lou, Joe, and Mike work with the.
But Chad then would be a good liaison between the two committees.
Chad's got to know what's going on.
Well,
it's his safety committee. I mean,
sorry, Chad. You
know.
You have to be
honest. I honestly can work with Millstone myself. I don't need, you
I
know.
Think we need to move it quick, and it would help with the
communication. I mean, I was on the phone with Jeff Wagner for an hour today because this has just been coming up and coming up and coming up. And I mean, Millstone's ready to go, which I know is not a permanent solution or even a good solution, but it's better than nothing to get them here, a certified EMT, have them here in 2 minutes. So.
Okay, so let's go back. So it's Mike.
I'll chair it. I'll be glad to chair it. That's okay.
Is there any way to put any pressure on why it's taking a year?
Lou and Chad?
The county?
For the new program, yeah.
Joe?
I'll tell you after
the meeting.
I want to be on it, or Chad should be on it, depending on, you know.
I think Chad.
So what is this, the safety committee or the ad hoc committee? I think I'm
this
on
is
it.
Ad hoc. This is ad hoc.
We'll add members as we go along. But
Well, I mean, hopefully we won't need to do that because we'll come up with something quickly.
Okay, and we need the public members, too.
This is happening in every town in Monmouth County and all around now. I mean, I went to this meeting. It was mobbed with people from
the... I'm sure, but it's the false sense of security that people have that's the problem.
Mike, is the committee here? Is Chad or not?
I don't know. Chad? It's okay to...
No, I...
Let us know where it's
at. Yeah, I was...
Well, you can be on that and also come with me to meet with Millstone. Although, there's not much to do with Millstone. I mean, they're ready to go. So
he could be not an official member, but act as a liaison. So if we need communication between the two, then he could come.
I mean, I'm hoping we can have this done by next week.
That's good.
No, we did. It's Irene Block, June Counterman. Jerry, are you on this ad hoc committee? We put Jerry down.
Okay.
Jerry, what's Jerry's last name?
M-I-L-L-A-R.
Okay.
Shirley?
No.
No? Okay. Will you bake for the meeting?
Okay.
She's baking, I'm on.
Oh, who wants to be on now because you're baking?
You
right.
Say that
right,
without even
on.
Tasting her cake, so.
The fact that you asked if she's baking.
Right.
That's an endorsement.
Exactly.
So we have Lou, Mike, and Chad, and then Irene, June, and Jerry. Okay.
Anyone else? Alan, did you want to be on the ad hoc committee?
Yeah,
It's too exciting.
Shirley's baking. Anything else before we adjourn? Well, we already closed the public portion, so I can't really.
So that was
okay.
A
motion. Yeah, that was, I made the motion to form the ad hoc committee. I didn't hear a second.
I didn't hear a second either.
Second.
I'll second.
All right, do I hear
this can be
all
a roll?
In favor?
This could be all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Who's on the committee? We're not sure.
I have you, Mike, and Chad,
and
Irene. I don't have you.
If you come on crutch.
I have Mike, Chad, and Lou.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Do I?
If the fourth person comes on crutch, does it count?
When do you want to have the first meeting?
All right.
Mike, I'm going to do an adjournment, and then you guys can talk. Okay. Move to adjourn? Someone?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.
Time out, 8:36.
Thursday?
No,